Today, the U.S. Supreme Court heard arguments in a major states' rights case testing the constitutionality of the Brady gun control law. The law, enacted in 1994, requires a 5-day waiting period for the purchase of handguns. During that time, local law enforcement officers are instructed to make a reasonable effort to check available records on the gun buyer. If the check turns up a felony conviction or a record of mental instability or spouse abuse, the person seeking to buy the gun is rejected. The Brady Law was challenged as an unconstitutional infringement of states' rights by two local sheriffs, one in Arizona, the other in Montana. They lost in the lower courts, but financed by the National Rifle Association, they appealed to the Supreme Court. NPR's Nina Totenberg has a report on today's arguments.
The protagonists in this constitutional drama were all there in the courtroom and outside on the steps. Former White House Press Secretary James Brady sat in a wheelchair accompanied by his wife, Sarah. The two began crusading for stricter gun control laws after Brady was severely wounded in the 1981 attempt on President Reagan's life. Sarah Brady said the law named for her husband has worked.
It's stopped over 100,000 prohibited purchasers nationwide already. And every day, 75 felons to 85 felons a day are stopped. It's in the public interest that the spirit of this law be maintained.
She noted that every major law enforcement organization in the country had lobbied for the Brady bill, but said she was not surprised that the constitutional challenge had been brought by sheriffs, albeit just two of them.
This is not law enforcement. This is one or two renegade sheriffs. Law enforcement themselves nationwide have supported this and fought for it. I certainly always did realize that the gun lobby would go to every extent and would certainly find a way to challenge anything, as they have on every other law that we have ever been involved in.
The sheriffs, Arizona's Richard Mack and Montana's Jay Prince, for their part seemed quite delighted at being called renegades as they stepped to the microphones to identify themselves outside the court, each one packing a gun.
Mack, like the truck, not the hamburger.
And I'm from Ravalli County, Montana. I'm the sheriff coroner. I'm that bad boy.
Reporters asked the sheriffs how much of a pain it really is to do a computer check on people buying guns. Ravalli County Sheriff Prince spoke first.
Well, if I was to estimate it, it'd be a big pain, but I ain't been doing them, so I really can't tell you for sure. Don't plan on doing them either.
And for me, it's always a pain to violate the Constitution. I don't care how minor the imposition. The philosophical position it puts me in violating my oath of office is something I absolutely cannot do. Whether it's a minute, 2 hours, or 10 hours a day, I cannot do it.
If the court were to rule against you, would you do these checks?
I am too busy, and I will be too busy, and I will not do those checks.
What about a real slow day?
We don't have slow days anymore.
Inside the courtroom, the battle was just as heated, though the terminology more legalistic. Representing the sheriffs was lawyer Stephen Halbrook. He argued that the federal government cannot commandeer local officials to carry out a federal law. He contended that the Brady Law forces local officials to divert necessary law enforcement resources. But under questioning from the justices, he acknowledged that in his view, even if the sheriffs had plenty of manpower and not enough to do, the law would still be unconstitutional. Justice O'Connor, what about the federal law that requires state and local governments to report traffic fatalities? Answer, that requirement is tied to highway spending money. Justice Breyer, so the requirement that state and local officials report missing children is unconstitutional? Where is it in our history that it's more respectful of the states to have a national reporting system instead of asking the local police to report a few things? Justice Ginsburg, are you saying there are no other laws like this, that this is a first-of-a-kind law? Lawyer Halbrook acknowledged that there might be similar laws, but he said they were obscure. Justice Kennedy, there's something of a paradox here. If you prevail, you may be striking a blow for big government because a big federal bureaucracy would have to be created to do the job. But Halbrook was adamant that the Congress could not require state and local governments to help the federal government to make checks in any way, an assertion that got him in trouble even with otherwise friendly justices. Justice Stevens, supposing they amended the statute to require the federal government to make the checks, but all local law enforcement officers were required to make relevant information available. Would that be constitutional? Answer, no, Your Honor. Chief Justice Rehnquist, incredulously. That's a rather strange answer. Justice Souter, his voice rising slightly. It's your position that it would be unconstitutional to require state and local officials to provide this information to federal officers? Answer, yes. Justice O'Connor, that's an extreme position. That's totally different. That's a remarkable assertion. But if Halbrook was scorched by the justices, the Solicitor General, Walter Dellinger, representing the Clinton administration, soon found himself engulfed in a fire. Justice Kennedy, considered a pivotal vote, began the grilling. How can Congress just ignore the constitutional provisions for state sovereignty? Doesn't this law just end up blurring accountability? Justice O'Connor, can Congress require states to, let's say, enforce a welfare program without providing the money to do it? Just say to the states, you attend to this? Solicitor General Dellinger acknowledged such a broad policy program would run afoul of the Constitution. Justice O'Connor, and this is just a smaller version, is it not? Answer, no. The Brady Law does not put any undue financial burden on the states, and the policy burden clearly rests with the federal government. Justice Scalia, so if there's no policy judgment, you can just make the states dance like marionettes on the fingers of the federal government? Justice Kennedy, if Congress wants such a program, it can pay the cost. Answer, Congress didn't do this to offload its burden. The localities are where the records are, and law enforcement understood that if there's one county where no check is made, that's where all the felons will go to buy guns. At the end of the day, it's always dangerous to predict the outcome of a case based on the justices' skeptical questions. But after today's argument, even gun control advocates acknowledged that the Brady Act could be in serious constitutional trouble. On the steps of the court, James Brady's plea was to uphold the law.
Don't strike it.
Don't strike it.
Why not?
Don't strike it.
Why not?
Because it's working.
How well is it working?
ATF tells us it's working very well. And I've been told if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
A decision in the Brady Act case is expected by summer. I'm Nina Totenberg in Washington.